This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. And again, greetings this morning and welcome to our lesson. And as per usual, I'll give you my mailing address and website address at the close of the program if you want to contact me. And you can re-listen to the program on the website. There's also a weekly meditation on the website that you might find helpful, as well as some tracks, some questions and answers, and some other useful information. Now, we have finished what I'm going to do, at least, with the book of Genesis. It has not been an exhaustive study, but it has been an interesting study as we have covered some of the basic concepts that we find in the book of Beginnings. So now we've ended with Joseph being in Egypt, being the savior of the children of Israel, and Jacob has now died. And if we were to go on into Exodus, the interesting thing about Exodus is that there would be a transition from a Pharaoh who was blessed by Joseph to a Pharaoh who knew not Joseph. And we often wonder what is going to come after us, because it seems as though we have revivals and we have people who lead us who are very conscientious about pleasing the Lord. And as we go through the generations following, there's departure. And ultimately, the children of Israel, because there arose a Pharaoh who knew not Joseph, that is, from a spiritual standpoint, this Pharaoh didn't know the Lord. This Pharaoh was not a worshiper of the living and true God that Israel worshiped. And so, since he knew not Joseph, he didn't appreciate Joseph's people, who had actually been a blessing to them in the land of Egypt. They were a blessing, first of all, because in preserving Israel, the Lord had to preserve Egypt during that great famine. And they were a blessing in that they were willing to be shepherds, and the Egyptians were not, and so they were able to keep animals. And then they were turned into slavery. But the Lord blessed the children of Israel, and while Pharaoh made slaves of them and built his pyramids with them, while that was taking place, the children of Israel were prospering and were multiplying. And pretty soon we find out that the children of Israel are becoming a large enough part of Egypt that Egypt is afraid of them, and they want to control them. And so we find the desire on the part of Pharaoh to control their numbers, and he does that by asking the delivery people, the nurses who deliver the children, to kill the firstborn males. Well, we could go through the whole story, because Egypt is all about redemption, and we've covered those stories indirectly on other occasions, so I'm not going to cover the Passover and all of the miracles that it took to bring Egypt, or to bring Israel back out of this place that now is a place of bondage and speaks to us of the world. But the Lord was merciful to them and brought them out, and we could study that, and it would be profitable, because we can see that ultimately salvation is through the blood of a lamb. And that takes us to Calvary, does it not? John the Baptist saw the Lord on the banks of the Jordan River and said, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." And this program is all about trying to point those who do not know him to the Lamb of God that still takes away the sin of the world. We can relegate all of these stories that we've looked at to fables and myths, or we can believe them. And if we believe them, we'll be brought into fellowship with the God Almighty who created us. We'll be made to confront our sin and our bondage in Egypt, but we'll be given a way of escape, a redemption. And the Lord will give us a new day, a new beginning. And so in the book of Genesis, in the book of Exodus, when the children of Israel finally are delivered out of Egypt, that became a new day unto them. They started their calendar over. Their history started from that point on. And so for us, when we're delivered from the penalty that we deserve because of our sin, as far as God is concerned, our days start over. We're created anew in Christ Jesus. And as a result of being created anew in Christ Jesus, we live a new life with a new master, new and with new desires. Now, we have finished that study, and I would like at this point now to do some biographical studies from the Bible. And since we've already basically done Adam and Eve, and we've done Noah, and we've done Abraham, and we've done Isaac, and we've done Jacob, and we've done Joseph. Since we've done that in our study of Genesis, I've been thinking that it would be nice to make a study of David, King David. King David is a picture of the Lord Jesus in many ways, just as Joseph is a picture of the Lord in many ways. And so I thought it might be helpful for us to take a look at this man that the Lord descended from. And in order to do that, we need to start with the family he comes from. And I want to look at that. We go back to 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 11, and we'll find out that Samuel was sent to anoint a son of Jesse, who ultimately was a child of a Moabitish woman by the name of Ruth, who was a woman of faith who came from Moab with her mother, Naomi, to worship the living and true God. And she becomes the wife of Boaz. And through Boaz, we have David's father, who is Jesse produced. And David is the child of Jesse. And Samuel is told to go anoint a child of Jesse's, one of Jesse's family, as the new king in Israel. And in 1 Samuel 10 and or 16 and verse 11, Samuel says to Jesse, "Are all the young men here?" Then he said, "There remains yet the youngest, and there he is keeping the sheep." And Samuel said to Jesse, "Send and bring him, for we will not sit down till he comes here." Now, I've read this because we know that God intended for the children of Israel to be ruled through an elder worship system. They worshiped, that he raised up judges as they were needed, and those judges were worshipers of the living and true God. They were worshipers of Jehovah. And God used those judges to protect and to lead the children of Israel. But the children of Israel pretty soon started doing that which was right in their own eyes. And that's much like the day and age in which we live. Instead of obeying the truths that they had been taught by Moses, and instead of really being loyal to God, they built their own idols and worshiped in the way that they wanted to worship. And one of the things they wanted was they wanted a king like the nations around them. And so finally, Samuel, who is the last of the judges, is told by God, "Now remember, Samuel, they have not rejected you. They have rejected me." And that's a sad, sad thing to say. Because in a sense, I think there's a principle there when it comes to what we call Christianity today. Christianity, in my mind, has departed from the original, true truth and pattern laid down in the scripture for the worship of God. The original worship of God was not a performance. The original worship of God was spirit-led, heartfelt, and it was interactive. There was not a pope or a priest or one man who led any particular congregation, in spite of what you may read in some of the commentaries. The congregations were led by a group, a board of elders who God established. And those elders were called of God to do the work that they did. And this was not a time of professionalism in the early church. It was a time of zeal. But yet, we have found out that the business model, where we go out and do market research and throw money at an organization, that it builds members faster than the biblical model. And so it's easy for the churches who have tried to be biblical over the years to look at the models that are being used to build the mega churches and some of the systems around us and to say we want to be like them. And even though there's much truth that is presented in many of these groups, they are not the models that God wanted. And so the children of Israel had wanted a king. They wanted to be like the nations around them. And they originally were given a king by the name of Saul. And Saul stood head and shoulders above the people. He was the man that God had anointed king. He was one who was, even though he was, in a sense, he looked like a king and was the people's choice, he was God's choice, but he was never the man that he should have been, and he feared men. And instead of doing what God wanted him to do, he did what made sense at the time, and ultimately he rebelled against God by offering sacrifices he should not offer, and by not slaying the Amalekites that God had asked him to slay. And so he's set aside, and now Samuel has been told to anoint David as king. But David didn't look like the king. When Samuel went to the house of Jesse, there were a number of sons there, and some of them looked like kings. And Samuel would say, this must be him, or this must be him. But no, the king was the one who was out keeping the sheep, and this was David. And the thing that we find out about David is that he was always loyal to God. He was a man after God's own heart. He didn't start out being a man of war, but he ended up being a man of war. And while he made mistakes, yet he's probably known for a statement that is made about him both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. He was a man after God's own heart. And I just simply think that that means that he never had a temptation to turn aside and serve an idol. He never had the temptation to serve some of the gods that were in the land. He didn't have that temptation. He was loyal to God himself. And the question I have today is, if we are truly saved, if we have truly seen the value of the death of Christ on the cross, are we as loyal to the Lord Jesus Christ as David was to Jehovah? Are we people after God's own heart? I realize that could mean different things to different people, but to me it just simply means he was totally devoted to the Lord, totally loyal to the Lord. We'll see that he made mistakes, but he was a devoted worshiper of Jehovah. And the only way we can be devoted worshipers of Jehovah is if we read our Bible, and instead of doing things the way it seems right, doing things the way God says it's right. And that starts with a time in our lives when we become children of God by faith in the Lord Jesus, by believing that we are sinners and that Christ died for our sins. Now, our Heavenly Father, we pray for thy blessing upon this program and upon those who are listening. We thank thee for thy love and for thy salvation in our Savior's name. Amen. Now, our mailing address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.faithweb.com, bdcministries.faithweb.com, and we do thank you for listening.